This is Linda Ross. Linda began attending our church several months ago, and we got acquainted with her, and she expressed a desire to demonstrate her faith in Christ and her belief in Christ by being baptized. And Linda, have you received Christ, and have you made him the Lord of your life?
Yes, I have.
And you're ready to follow him wherever he may lead from this point on?
Yes, I am.
All right. Well, Linda, I'm going to move you over here. And just a little bit, all right, just a little bit more, and then we'll turn you that way. There we go. And as we do this, and we'll be talking actually about this a little bit later in the message, but as I do this, this is going to be a great visual picture. That's what baptism is. It's a demonstration of what Christ has done for us and for what Christ has done in us. And what he did for us is that he was crucified on the cross. He died, he was buried, placed in a tomb, and then he rose again on the third day. What he does in us is that he forgives us of our sin, and he brings to life his life in us. And so we, in baptism, we picture that old life being buried and dead and being raised to walk in the newness of life. And I'll say those exact words when we bring Linda back up from the water. Now, Linda, in the scripture, Jesus died and he was placed in a tomb for 3 days. I'm not going to hold you under for 3 days, all right? We're going to bring you right back up. But I want you to know that that what Linda is doing today is a testimony to all who see and all who experience it. This is a testimony. Many of you have received Christ. You died into your sin and you became alive in Christ. And you did that publicly through baptism. And Linda has made that commitment. And so with that, the Bible says once we repent and receive, we are to be baptized. And so with that, my dear sister, I baptize you in the name of Jesus. And I pray that as you live for him and as you walk with him, that you will know that he is in your heart, in your life, and that his word will bring you life. I baptize you, my dear sister, in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, buried in the likeness of his death, and raised to walk in newness of life.
Yes, Lord. Thank you, Lord.
Amen.
Thank you, Jesus.
Amen.
Amen. What a beautiful sign. So again, welcome today. I'm glad that you're here with us. I'm glad that we could share this moment with Linda. We do have some announcements. Can you push the button for my next slide, maybe? There we go. Connection cards. We do this every week. You may have seen this in your program before, but there's a connection card. And we use these as a tool to know that you were here. And also, as a way to get your prayer requests. We take it very seriously and pray for every request every week, multiple times. And so if there is something in your life that you would like us to pray with you over, please add that to your prayer requests. There are some other things on the back side of that card that we may refer to later in the service. Do want to invite you to our Wednesday night prayer and study group, 6 o'clock Wednesday nights. We're currently studying the book, The Problem of Pain by C.S. Lewis. I think we've got about 4 more sessions in that, and then we'll study something different. Maybe the book of Acts, I'm thinking maybe. Also, Eugene is teaching class 101 and 201. Class 101 Sundays in May, class 201 Sundays in June. If you've not taken those classes, if you're interested in membership here at Crestwood, or it's been a while since you've taken that, I don't know what my slides are doing, folks. I'm sorry. Maybe I do. I bet there's a place on the back of that connection card for you to indicate that you're interested in taking either class 101 or 201. All right. Let's go to Lord in prayer this morning. Lord, I thank you for the public witness of Linda this morning. Thank you for the fact that she has surrendered her life to you and that she now will look to you for lordship, leadership in her life. Lord, may she be blessed as she goes forward from here today. Lord, open all of our hearts to be free of our burdens at this time, to truly worship you, to bask in your goodness, to thank you for your mercy. And Lord, also open our hearts and our minds to hear from the message today, that we may go forth from here changed. I ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen.
Good morning, Crestwood. Are you going to do this? So from now on, we regard no one from a worldly point of view. Though we once regarded Christ in this way, we do so no longer. Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, the new creation has come. The old has gone. The new is here. All the new is here. All of this is from God, who reconciled us to himself through Christ and gave us the ministry of reconciliation, that God was reconciling the world to himself in Christ, not counting people's sins against them, and he has committed to us the message of reconciliation. We are therefore Christ's ambassadors, as though God were making his appeal through us. We implore you on Christ's behalf, be reconciled to God. God made him who had no sin to be sin for us, so that in him we might become the righteousness of God. We are therefore Christ's ambassadors, as though God were making his appeal through us. We implore you on Christ's behalf, be reconciled to God. God made him who had no sin to be sin for us, so that in him we might become the righteousness of God. Stand, usher the Lord in. Heavenly Father, good morning. Thank you once again for the opportunity to gather together and worship you, learn from your word. Heavenly Father, invite the Holy Spirit to come in here this morning. Be with us. Worship with us as we worship to you in love.
Better is one day in your courts. Better is one day in your house. Better is
Stand in the house of the Lord. The Lord's house is the earth. And He has all authority. And through the Holy Spirit, so do you. Cool how that works.
Seated above, throne in the Father's love. Destined to die, poured out for all mankind. God's only Son, perfect and spotless one. He never sinned, but suffered as if He did.
All authority.
All authority. Broken land. Oh.
was dependent on myself, but God helped me overcome. I was lost in sin, but God helped me overcome. I was so afraid, but God helped me overcome. I was insecure, but God helped me overcome. And we will overcome by the blood of the Lamb and the word of our testimony. Everyone overcome. We will overcome by the blood of the Lamb and the word of our testimony. Everyone overcome. We will overcome by the blood. Thank you.
is greater, our God is stronger. God, you are higher than any other. Our God is healer, awesome in power. Our God,
amen to all of that. So as we come out a little casual today, got back there for the baptism, realized I don't know where I put my clothes. So, fortunately, I brought something to wear after church, so here we are. And but if you see a yellow shirt hanging around somewhere, bring it to me. Congratulations, Linda. God bless you, sister. We are so excited that you shared that with us. And just a reminder, all of us, the change that God wants to make in our lives, from old to new, from broken to repaired, and better than repaired. I do want to welcome you once again to Crestwood, and I'm Eugene. I serve as one of the pastors here, and I'm excited that you're here today. We're continuing a teaching that we began last week, and it's called Go. Actions that impact eternity. And so we're going to be talking about that. The focus of this series on Go is one of the most important passages in all the Scripture. It's found in the Gospel of Matthew. It's the last words of Jesus, and so we call it great because it's his last commandment, and these are his last words, and they are commanding his disciples and those who would follow, and that includes many of you and myself as well. And they're great because it's called a commission because he was sending them and us out on a mission. And so these words carry a lot of weight because Jesus wanted to impart to his disciples before he left this earth the great importance of them being the light and the salt in this dark and thirsty world. And so our key passage today is the Great Commission, and I've got that up there on the screen. And so as we read that, I mentioned a few things. Jesus said this. He says, I've been given all authority. And when I did that last week, I had you circle or put a box around authority, and then we said that that means power. Jesus is saying, I've been given all power in heaven and on earth. Therefore, go, he says. Go. And one of the things we mentioned last week is that Greek word there is not just that God is sending you to and going to take you far away places necessarily. He's just, that word means as you go through your everyday life, as you go to work, as you go to school, as you go to out to with your friends, as you go into your home, as you go on vacation, as you go eat at a restaurant, as you go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit. Teach these new disciples to obey all the commands I've given you, and be sure of this, I am with you always, even to the end of the age. Now, I know that's all that's on the front of your program or your notes. If you got your notes, go ahead and take those out. But don't turn inside yet, all right? Because just like last week, we're going to spend a little time on this. And I've already mentioned those at the top, but we also had you, I highlighted disciples, put a box around disciples, because he's not just wanting people to be believers. He's not, you know, when we come to Christ, we become a believer in Christ. That's just the beginning of the journey. Baptism is the initiation. It's not graduation, because God is not finished with us yet. He's taking us as we are, and he's transforming us into what he created us to be, into the image of his Son. And so we're to become disciples. And disciples do what? They learn. They follow their leader, and our leader is Jesus Christ, and we want to learn from him. And so he says, go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit. Now, when we talk about disciples, making disciples, that is the goal of this Great Commission. Jesus was leaving. He was going to send back the Holy Spirit to live within each believer so that the believer would be empowered to do the work of making disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit. And he told us to teach those new disciples to obey all the commands. Now, this word baptizing, he says that we are to baptize, we're going to go and make disciples, baptizing them. And really, when we talk about this, we talk about making, marking, and maturing disciples. That's one of the terms we use. Making is making disciples, having people accept Jesus Christ as their personal Savior, coming to the realization that he died for their sins, and they repenting, them turning away from being their own boss and doing their own thing, and realizing that God is the one who's in charge, and we should let Jesus be in charge of our lives. And so we because that's the way we were designed. That's what will make us the most complete, the most happy, the most joyful. And so we turn to him. We make disciples. And then he says, I want you to mark them. I want them to testify of me right at the beginning of their spiritual journey. And that's what baptism is. It is that initiation. It is that marking. It is that testifying that a change has happened and a change has begun in my life. And that word baptism, you know, baptizing, the word baptism, it was a little bit odd. Back in the day, when those that translated the King James version of the Bible, they came to that word, and the word there in the Greek is baptismo. All right, when they came across that word, they had a little issue because the Greek word baptismo means to immerse. It means to submerge. All right, I think I have this on up here. Baptismo, that's how you spell it, and it means to immerse, it means to submerge, it means to dunk underwater. That's the literal translation of the word baptismo. Well, they had a problem. You say, well, what's the problem? Well, the problem was their king, the king of England, the Anglican Church, and he was not baptized, he was not immersed, he was sprinkled as a baby. And so they thought, well, we don't practice this in our church. But we don't want to mistranslate Scripture, so we'll just create a new word. We'll just call it baptism, and that way it can fit all forms. But the word itself means to immerse, to submerge, to dunk underwater, and I think that's a fitting sign of immersion baptism, because God wants you to be immersed in His love, immersed in His life. He wants it to be something that is a transformational in your life. And so this word baptism is being immersed, and it also signifies a change. I saw one preacher that used an illustration when he was talking about baptism. He brought a jar of pickles, and he said, you know, this jar of pickles, these used to be cucumbers, but we immersed them, we baptized them in vinegar or whatever they use, and we let it set for a while, and voila, it's no longer a cucumber, it's a pickle. It changed. And I love pickles, right? Matter of fact, one of my favorite snacks when I was growing up was a dill pickle and milk. Because milk kind of, you don't understand that. Nobody does, but try it. Maybe I was born pregnant. I don't know. But I like, but anyway, let's get off that. But it changed the nature, and that's what God does in our life. He changes the nature of who we are. As we go about making disciples, and as we go about that's making disciples and then marking those disciples through baptism, which I'm so thankful that we had that illustration today. And so, so Jesus continues the Great Commission. He says, baptize them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. He says to teach these new disciples to, and that word back again that I'd like for you to circle here. Did I do that? No, I didn't. The word obey. If you'd go ahead and circle that word obey. You see, ultimately the Great Commission is about doing what Jesus asked, being willing to live out your faith publicly. To be a disciple means to be someone who's obedient
to Christ, obedient to living out the Great Commission. In the Great Commission, Jesus told his disciples, and he's telling us today, to live out our faith. And to live it out in such a way that everyone can see it, and that others are impacted by it, and that they're drawn to live, to want to live out their faith, and they're wanting to experience what we've experienced. So live out your faith in a way that impacts the world around you. And so we're going to look at the Great Commission. You can go ahead and open your notes, and we're going to look at four ways to go public with my faith. And Jesus asked us to do that. So the first way that we go public with our faith is that we confess Jesus for our salvation. I confess Jesus for my salvation. We do that publicly. So the starting point to living out the Great Commission publicly is to settle this issue about Jesus personally in your life. Deciding personally. Nobody can make you a Christian, okay? They can help you become a disciple once you become a Christian. They can share with you how to become a Christian, but it's Jesus that saves. And it's your choice to respond to his call upon your life. Whosoever will, the Bible tells us. And some people choose Jesus and others do not. Sadly so, that's true. But we have the responsibility to make sure that they know what their choice is. That they know that there is a God who loves them. That they know that there is a God who gave himself for them. So we publicly confess. Now, I was telling our 101 class, and John mentioned that earlier, and if you'd like to join in, we can catch you up. We'll be teaching that throughout the month of June. And we'll be in session two next week, but we can catch up with session one. But you can come to session two and then get caught up with session one later if you like. That's 9:15. I think you've already heard all that, but I'm teaching it, so I want to publicize it, right? But here's what it is. He says, confess your sins, and he says that you do that personally. And there are others that will tell you, well, you need to keep your faith private. You know, you need to keep it to yourself. That's a private thing. It's kind of socially unacceptable to talk about Jesus. But Jesus never intended for your faith to be private. Jesus died a public death on a cross for you and me. And now he wants us to live a public faith for him. Jesus was never ashamed to die on a cross for you. And he doesn't want you to be ashamed to live this life for him. Paul says this in Romans about our faith. He says, if you openly declare that Jesus is your Lord and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. Now, I was mentioning in that class, that's where I was going up earlier, okay? I was mentioning in that class that today is that word confess means to agree. And when it says confess your sins, it means I'm coming to God. He already knows about them. What am I doing? I'm agreeing with him. Those are bad. I shouldn't have done that. I shouldn't be living that way. That shouldn't be in my life. That's why what Jesus and John the Baptist came doing is they came preaching repentance. That means to turn from your way and turn to God's way. And so when I confess, I'm agreeing with God. If I confess my sins, I'm agreeing with God. If I confess God's greatness, I'm agreeing that he's great. It just means I'm agreeing with whatever I'm confessing that what God says about it is true. And Paul says, if you openly declare, it means confess, that Jesus is your Lord and you believe in, that's that great term, believe in, that means trust in, that means lay your life upon that in your heart that God raised him from the dead, that means you really trust, you really believe that Jesus is who he says is, and he's done what he said he would do, you will be saved. So if you want to be saved, if you want to have a relationship with God, you need to have your sins forgiven. Because that's your sins, your disobedience to God, you going your own way, your rebellion to God has put a gulf between you and God. And you need that gulf to go away. You need a bridge that you can cross that gulf to come to God. And Jesus becomes that bridge. There's no requirements for salvation other than putting your faith and your trust in Jesus Christ. You can't earn it. You can't get it by trying to live a good life. You can't get it by trying to be a good person, because we've all sinned, the Bible tells us, and that sin has separated us from God. But God offers his forgiveness freely to everyone, everyone who will turn to him, everyone who will confess their sins, everyone who will believe and trust him with their lives. You do that, and you have the gift of salvation by believing in Jesus. Now, that's the good news of the New Testament. And notice here, Paul says that salvation is not just about believing in your heart. It's not just about something that you keep hidden. Salvation comes when we believe in our hearts and we openly declare that we are trusting in him, that he is Lord and Savior of my life. Notice that both these here, that I believe in my heart, but I'm not ashamed. I declare with my mouth that Jesus is Lord. It's a public profession of Jesus. So you let others know that you're a follower of Christ. It's not something that you can keep to yourself. And that's important. Let's look at what Matthew writes in chapter 10, verse 32. Everyone who acknowledges me publicly, this is Jesus talking, everyone who acknowledges me publicly here on earth, I will also acknowledge before my Father in heaven. But get this part, but everyone who denies me here on earth, I will also deny before my Father in heaven. See, Jesus was straight with us. He was telling us the truth. He says, if you deny me here, I'm going to deny that I know you when we get to heaven. If you're ashamed of me here, I'll be ashamed of you when you stand before God in that final judgment. Following Jesus is not a private thing. There's no such thing as a private Christian, a secret Christian. That's why publicly professing your faith in Jesus is so important. Now, I realize this is harder in countries where it's a sin. I mean, you're in danger of your life to go public with your faith. Others, you're okay, they're okay. If you believe it, just keep it to yourself. That's why in China, they have secret churches that meet. But they're not secret with their faith, because those churches are growing all over China. In those secret churches and other places where Christian, being a Christian can mean peril for you. But because of the difference that Jesus makes in your life, people are coming to him all around the world. And we here live in a country where we're free to gather, free to proclaim it. And so we need to take advantage of that fully and do what we can. And so just like Linda came and decided that she wanted to make sure that she trusted Jesus with her whole life, and now came forward and publicly proclaimed that through baptism. You know, that's how easy it is to make that choice. And if you come, you say, well, I don't know much, I don't have a Bible. We'll get you a Bible, okay? You can't get a hold of one, we'll get you one. So the first way to go public with your faith is your public confession of Jesus as your Savior. That's the first way. Now let's go back to our notes. Here's the second way that we publicly proclaim it. We publicly admit to others that I am a Christian. Publicly admit to others that I'm a believer in Christ. First thing I do is confess my sins to God. You can do that anywhere. You can do it here sitting in that pew. You can do it at home. You can do it in the shower. You can do it at work. You can do that anywhere, because God is everywhere. And if he's drawing you, and if you're feeling conviction to, and you've got that desire that to have your life changed by Christ, you can cry out to him anywhere and trust, turn from your sin and turn to him, and he will be there. You don't need a priest. You don't need a preacher. If you need help and just understanding it more, then you call a friend that you trust who's a believer and let them help you. But you can do it anywhere. But you confess your sin. You admit to others that you're a Christian, and you go public by telling other people that you're a follower of Jesus. You know, today in our society, there are fewer percentage of people going to church than there have been in a long time. Fewer people read their Bible. Fewer people believe that Jesus is the Son of God. You know what that means? That's exciting in one sense because it means we live in a mission field. And light shines bright when it's in the dark. So shine that light. Some people may look at that as an obstacle because others aren't believers, but that's not a reason to hide your faith. That's a reason to let it shine. Say, well, Eugene, most of the people I work with, they don't seem to be Christians. Well, that's why they need a light in there that shows them what Christ can do in our life. In 1 Peter chapter 3, beginning with verse 15, it says this, "And if someone asks you about your hope as a believer, always be ready to explain it. But do this in a gentle and a respectful way." Now, if I haven't already done it for you in your outline, why don't you go ahead and underline that word, gentle and respectful. In a gentle and respectful way. How do you go public with your faith in a gentle and respectful way? Well, you could go up to a coworker in the middle of summer and say, "Man, it's hot here, but it ain't anywhere near as hot as hell." That's probably not the best approach, all right? But what you can do is you can begin, you know, you can do things like somebody asks you, "What'd you do this last weekend?" "Well, I did this, and Sunday I went to church, and we just had a great time. Got to see a lot of my friends. Got to really have a good time worshiping the Lord." So that's just something simple that just plants the seed. Now, if you do that, remember, you're going to be with them all week long. So you want to make sure that you're following the Spirit's lead as you walk through your life. You don't have to be perfect to be a witness, but you do need to be committed to following Christ. If a friend or a coworker is having a bad day and they share with you about that, you can say, well, could I pray for you? Would that be all right if I just pray right now? Again, another seed, another watering, another giving God the opportunity to pierce a heart with his love. And you could do that even today. If you go out to lunch somewhere and you have a server come up to your table and they take your order, you say, "Well, you know, it's our tradition that we kind of pray before we eat. Is there anything we can pray for you about?" We've done that a few times, and you'll be surprised how many people, some people will say, "Oh, no, I'm okay." And others will just say, "Yeah, well, you know, I've got a son or a daughter, or I've got this going on. I got this opportunity." And so you just say, "Oh, great, we'll pray for you." And then you do. And so you just begin to do it. Now, if you do that, make sure you leave a good tip. And if you do that, then you could also take one of our invite cards that we have out. One of them says love on the top. There's several of them that we put around. Take those or a business card from the church and leave that with your tip. Now, if you don't leave a tip, don't leave the card. Okay? So we don't want that type of reputation, all right? But you publicly admit that you are a believer. And then, number three, you publicly acknowledge my faith in Jesus through baptism. Now, you don't need much on this because you just saw this. But we publicly acknowledge that my faith in Jesus through baptism. The first step that every person, every believer should take is that they need to make a plan how they're going to be baptized, when they're going to be baptized. You go public with your faith in baptism. You know, I've had some people that want to be baptized, you know, by themselves. They don't want other people watching them be baptized. And I think, well, you're kind of missing the point. This is a great opportunity to try. Now, you don't have to have people around when you're baptized. Philip baptized an Ethiopian eunuch in a pond somewhere they got off the chariot and he baptized them right there. Now, if you're in a chariot and you need to be baptized, I don't mind you doing that, you know, but if you have the opportunity to do it publicly. Remember, John the Baptist he did public baptism. People were coming out and being baptized publicly. Jesus was baptized publicly. Matter of fact, I'll give you four reminders about baptism. One of them is that Jesus was baptized, okay? Jesus, who was perfect, Jesus, the Son of the living God, was baptized. And that's the way he began his public ministry, was by being baptized. in Matthew chapter 3, we find that John the Baptist, who baptized Jesus, he was a little resistant, all right? Jesus went from Galilee to the Jordan River to be baptized by John, but John tried to talk him out of it. He says, I'm the one who needs to be baptized by you, so why are you coming to me? And Jesus said, it should be done, for we must carry out all that God requires. It should be done. Now, some people might say, well, Eugene, I don't see why baptism is so important. What's the big deal with baptism? Well, a couple things. One, we never want to minimize what Jesus has maximized. Jesus said it was important. He showed it was important by doing it. And so we don't want to say what Jesus says is important is unimportant. And Jesus taught that baptism was so important. He not only told us to do it, but he did it himself as an example to us. And that shows how important it is to our faith. Jesus was baptized. Another example is that baptism doesn't save me. That's a reminder. If Linda walked into that baptismal pool without having confessed Jesus Christ as Savior, and I dunked her, and she came back up, she'd go under a dry, lost person and come up a wet one. Okay, a dry, because Jesus forgives through his shed blood, through confessing our sins to him and believing in Jesus Christ, confessing Jesus as Lord. We turn to make him our boss, and we follow his path because he created us. He knows us better than we know ourselves. That saves you. And then that baptism is your first act of obedience after you receive him, so that you can step out, begin your Christian life by going public with your faith. In essence, baptism is a lot like a wedding ring. It was December 28th, 1978. I wrote it down this time, Sandy. 43 and a half years ago, about that, Sandy and I stood on a stage, much like this one, and gave our life to each other, basically. We committed the act of marriage, and we exchanged rings. And now, the ring doesn't make me married. You could go out and put a ring on and call it a wedding ring and go out and tell people you're married, but you're not married, all right? Now, within a month after our wedding, I lost my wedding ring in the snow in Bolivar, Missouri, pushing people out of the snow. I don't know where it went. Now, because I lost my wedding ring didn't mean that I wasn't married anymore. All right, the ring didn't marry me, okay, didn't make me married. The ring was a symbol of my marriage. Baptism doesn't save me, but it shows the world that I have made that commitment to Christ. It's the wedding ring of the Christian faith. And again, it's initiation, not the graduation. And so just as that ceremony and that wedding ring is a display, a public display of my commitment to Sandy in marriage, so is baptism a public display of my commitment to Christ. And Jesus was baptized. It doesn't save me. And then number three, baptism illustrates my new life in Christ. And we just showed you that and talked about that in the baptistry, that just like Jesus died and was buried and was raised again, so our old life is buried and raised again. It shows what Jesus did for us. And it shows what Jesus did in us. And then, number four, baptism identifies me with Jesus. Baptism identifies me with Jesus. A public identification. Again, to show the world that you believe in Jesus. So we make that internal commitment to Christ. We personally commit ourselves to Christ. And then we publicly identify with him in baptism. It's that first opportunity to share your faith with someone else. So I encourage people, you know you're going to be baptized, invite family, invite friends, invite people to come and see it. One little boy, when he saw other people baptized, he came up to the pastor and he said, Pastor, when can I get advertised? And that's really what you're doing. You're advertising God's love and forgiveness. In Romans chapter 6, verse 4, it says, "For we died and were buried with Christ by baptism. And just as Christ was raised from the dead by the glorious power of the Father, now we also may live new lives." Now, before, again, hold your finger there. If you can say today that you believe in Jesus, that you're a follower of Christ, the question is, are you following his command? Have you gone public with your faith by being baptized? And if not, then I want to encourage you, on the back side of your card, there's a place where you can mark that you would like to be baptized. And if you're watching today and you've made a commitment to Christ, but you've not been baptized and you would like to find a place to where you could plug in and be baptized and grow as a Christian, I would encourage you to check us out or check a church out that practices those things. And don't put it off any longer, because it is a command of Jesus and there's no reason for delay. Now, so how do I live out the Great Commission? How do I go public with my faith? I confess Jesus for my salvation. I admit to others that I'm a Christian. I acknowledge my faith in Jesus through baptism. And then number four, I publicly follow Jesus in daily obedience. Baptism is a one-time declaration of your faith in Jesus. That begins a life of obedience and following him. Again, it's not the graduation, it's the initiation. I come into Christ and I become a new believer, and now I'm like a child in the Lord. Now I need to grow in the Lord, become more like him. The best thing about being a child of Christ is the life of living in Christ, of being obedient and walking and knowing that he's guiding your steps and you're fulfilling your purpose in life. So is Jesus the leader of your life every day? That's how you show that you're a follower of Jesus. That's how you show that you love Jesus, through your obedience and through your daily obedience, your dedication to him. In John chapter 14, verse 15, Jesus says this, "If you love me, obey my commandments. Those who accept my commandments and obey them are the ones who love me." You know, I've run across people, and sometimes I think I'm one of those people at times where I accept God's commands. I'm just not so sure that sometimes they're obeyed. Jesus says, if you love me, you will keep my commands. Not just keep them in a Bible, okay? You keep them in your life by your actions, by your attitudes and your activities. So how do you show the world that you're a follower? You obey his commands. You walk in his steps. So what step of obedience do you need to take? What do you know that God wants you to do that you haven't done yet? What do you know that you need to stop doing that God has told you to stop doing but you haven't stopped yet? Something that you need to remove from your life but you haven't done it yet. Maybe it's some of the things that we've talked about today. Simply taking that next step in being baptized or making that decision for Christ. Or maybe it's obeying what you know God is leading you to do with your business, with your marriage, with your children, with your finances, whatever decision it is. Maybe it's dealing with and letting go of a sin or an addiction that's been hanging around in your life, keeps knocking you down, keeps knocking you off track. God's wanting you to give something up, but you just haven't been willing to do it yet. Maybe it's a step of spiritual growth, like joining the church, getting into a small group where you can grow and learn about Christ, tithing or finding a place to serve. What steps do you need to take that would lead to a greater obedience and lead to greater spiritual growth in your life for the rest of this year and the years to come? And that's the challenge. Whatever God is asking you to do, whatever Jesus is saying for you to obey, don't put that off. Because it's your obedience that shows that you love Jesus. And one of the public displays of your Christian witness is simply obedience, doing what Jesus wants you to do, doing what Jesus has called you to do. that would speak volumes to your family and your friends and the world around you if you just walked in the Master's steps. So allow that to be a personal challenge. As you go out this week to live out your faith, Matthew chapter 28, verse 20, teach these new disciples to obey all the commands I've given you. And let's just pause a moment and pray together that we would do that. So just bow your heads and just kind of close your eyes just to close the world around you out so that you can focus. What steps of obedience do you need to take today? What area of your life do you need to commit or recommit to God right now? And would you be willing to pray right now? Would you be willing to say, Jesus, whatever you want me to do, I'll do. I want to fulfill the Great Commission. And I want to do it by being obedient to you in my words, in my actions, in my activities, in my habits. Now, if that step is baptism, I hope you'll take that next step and that you'll be baptized. And hey, guys, we can fill this up weekly if we need to. Okay? And it's like we've got a new heater on it. Okay? So it's like a sauna. But that's not the point. If you never asked Jesus to be the leader of your life, you've trusted him, but you've not made him Lord, Master. And that's a big rock in the road. Then I would encourage you to just say, Jesus, I believe in you. I believe your Son. You're the Son of God. I believe you were raised from the dead to overcome the power of sin and death. Come into my life. Forgive me of my sins. I choose to follow you because I choose to make you first and to choose you over all others. Our Father, today we pray for our city, our communities. Thank you for placing us in this great mission field. Help us to accomplish your mission, the mission that you have for our lives. Father, that we would go out and that we would make disciples by living out your truth, by being kind, respectful, and Father, that we would be honest and open about our faith in Christ, about where we are in our walk with Jesus, and let others know, Father, that they too can experience his grace, his forgiveness, and have that assurance of eternal life. Help us to go, Father, powerfully in your Spirit. Help us to go publicly so that we're not hiding that great source of life, which is our testimony in Christ Jesus. We give you praise and honor for who you are. In Jesus' name, amen. Well, guys, as we've done that, I want to point to you again on your connection card on the back. There's the second one down from the top. It says to pray and ask God to use me to help others come to faith in Christ. And again, it just merely begins by identifying with Christ before them, making sure they know that you're a follower of Christ. And then praying throughout the day how God might have you respond, how God might have you show through your actions and words. And then if you haven't been baptized, I would encourage you to follow Jesus and be baptized. And that's on the back of your connection card. If you mark that, we'll make sure that we contact you and get something set up, and we'll make it happen as the Lord gives us opportunity. And again, I would encourage you to, you know, as we're getting back to getting our programs back up and running, we mentioned already, the Class 101 is up this month. If you'd like to be a part of that, we're going to be doing that in the next 3 weeks. If you've had that before, it's probably been a long time. If you'd like to reconnect with that, you just let us know. I'll make sure I have a notebook for you next week, and you can join us at 9:15. And those of you who are the old pros here, it's in Karen's classroom. You know where that's at. So, Karen, we're using your classroom again, all right? So it's in that classroom And that's just down that way. Okay, down that end of the hall at, in the basement. And I'll be standing around making sure you find your way. So Linda will tell you, sometimes I'll leave you sitting a long time waiting for me, but I'll get there. And then also, next month, our 201 is our maturity class. It's our discipleship. It's really our entry to discipleship. It really talks about the habits of discipleship and how to develop them in your life. And I always enjoy teaching that as well. So if you do that, plug in there, and then who knows what God will be doing with us in the fall. Okay? Any questions? All right. Stand to your feet. Our praise team's going to come and lead us in our final song. And next week, we're going to be talking about going, we went publicly this week. Next week, we're going to be talking about going passionately for Christ. So let's sing about our Lord. I'll do a little intro for you. This is a new song that the praise team's introducing today. This is our Song of the Month. So if you're in the Song of the Month club, this is our Song of the Month. And it's a great song about God's power and how he brings that to our life. So let's have a great time singing.
If you are in the Song of the Month club, remember, it's the first. Dues are due.
Don't even know what that means.
Everyone, I want you to bring your greatest problem to the front of your mind right now. Your greatest problem, bring it right here.
When all I see is the battle, you see my victory. When all I see is a mountain, you see. Shadows, you win every battle. Nothing can.
Westwood. We'll see you next week. Hopefully we get the video fixed by then.